Lydia, do you have a solution to the riddle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Number one, every nonprofit in California sends in their 990 and this RRF1 that Eileen referred to. That RRF1 must accompany, that 990 and RRF1 must accompany the audit. When we got dinged on the 2019, it was because we sent in the 990 and the RRF1 without the audit and without explaining when that audit would be completed. So therefore, and as you know, we also have a law firm, the law firm for nonprofits here in California, and we have our attorney that deals with it, that dealt with that little setback that we had for 2019, and she was also clear that's the process that must be done. So as soon as the 990 is completed, the RRF1 will accompany the audit, which is why we're doing this well before the extension for the 990, and which is in late August, but we're doing it right away because we want to get that RRF1 to accompany the audit. California requires that audit. It is not a federal requirement. The 990 is a federal requirement. And so, and the RRF is the other California piece that must be, must accompany that audit. And so we consulted our attorney just to make sure that same day. Anita and I were in conversations with her on the 30th.
Okay. Thank you, Lydia. I'll take the next person on the stack. That's Chris.
Thank you, Chair. My reading of what you just informed us of as far as the pensions adjustment is that we'll have a $500,000 accrual adjustment on the 2020 audit. That should improve our bottom line for that year. That should filter directly through. That's not an internal item. That is something that we've been carrying for a while and now can adjust out. So it's going to improve our actual final result. Just verify that for me.
That's correct, Chris.
Thank you.
It does improve the bottom line, if you will.
Okay. Next on the stack is James.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. When the disclaimer is lifted for the accrued pension amounts, will that then result in us having an unqualified audit, or will the going concern still make it a qualified audit? And second, on the question of it being late, we had the extension on the 990s, I guess, which we got back in February, and that gave us till August 15th. But will we still be late, and does that mean we will be, in Lydia's words, dinged again on that? And I guess presume that means fines and other things, and how significant is that? And then finally, I would ask Lydia if she could say a few words about the lawyers for nonprofits, so everyone knows who they are, who she is, and what that's about. Thank you.
Lawyers for Nonprofit is a law firm that specializes in nonprofit law. They have been helping us with the tax-exempt status at KPFA. They know the ropes on everything. We won't be penalized for anything that's just a little bit late. The reason that we were, as I put it, dinged last time, not financially, but they brought it to our attention, gave us hard dates to get our audit in, was because there was no mention of it in the RRF one when we submitted our 990. So that's the main thing. But we're doing it backwards. We're kind of backwards. Like normally you do the 990 in February and then the audit, and then you send everything in together. I do this with the other nonprofits I work and have worked with. So that's how that works. And so I don't expect any penalty, but certainly as a courtesy, I you know, we can bring it. Kristen is aware of everything. So if she feels she needs to get in touch with the AG, she will, because she was in touch with them through 19. And for that, we did send it to her to send to the Attorney General. And so there was, on the 30th, there was some thought that maybe that's the route we should go. But of course, we couldn't send it without the 990 and the RRF1. Kind of a circular thing.
May I comment also, Lydia?
Sure, of course.
I just wanted to kind of get back to the question that James had.
Yeah.
As to my understanding, and really I'm reading his Jorge Diaz's email to us, he said that this change in the audit really will eliminate the disclaimer of opinion for the FY 2020 audit. So the reader, as they read the report from 2019, will see that the major improvement for this new audit. So again, it does not take away the going concern. I think that was the main question. From my perspective, the tax return will be done in plenty of time. Keep in mind, we pull all the information. It is sent back to the auditors. They put together the report for the federal filing. Of course, from there, we'll get it for it to go on. So I'm sure that we will all meet the deadline. Thank you.
Chair, may I get a quick follow-up?
Go for it.
I don't hear the chair. I'll just ask. So can we now say that our
I'm
audit
sorry,
is qualified or unqualified?
You can have a quick follow-up. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. So is the audit unqualified now, or does the going concern still make it qualified?
Still makes it qualified.
Understood. And I think the fact that the audit was sent to Kristen Anderson was the source of the confusion that it had been sent to the Attorney General, because that was the procedure last time. And that's why I asked for the clarification on attorneys for nonprofits.
Correct.
Thanks.
May I?
Yeah. No, Eileen.
Yeah, I just want to point that I'm looking at the reissued audit here. And just to let you know, so you won't be too surprised when you look at it, there is a section in the beginning that talks about the basis for disclaimer of opinion on 2019 financial statements, and then the actual disclaimer of opinion on the 2019 financial statements. Then opinion. I'm not clear on why that's in here in the 2020 financial statements, when we never saw that before, but probably because it's been lifted. So maybe he needed to mention it there. I don't know if Anita wants to comment on that, or if we'll just wait till Tuesday for Jorge to explain it to us. But I also wanted to mention that in this initial part, what is this called? This is the, it's sort of the introduction or executive summary.
Oh, it's the auditor's opinion. But
there is a section also that's a substantial doubt about the organization's ability to continue as a going concern. So it does still mention that. But at least if there's doubt about us being a going concern, it's based on the actual numbers that are now known.
Correct. But with this material change that we've had, you can really see the improvement from one year to the next.
Okay. James, did we get all your questions? I didn't write them down.
I think we have to go on to the next person. We have Lawrence on the stack.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Eileen, and thank you, Ms. Sims, for
Chair, your hand is up. Are you on the stack?
I am, but I'll go after whoever else is on the stack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have one question, then I have a compound question, And my first question is, would it be, and you could answer it afterwards, Eileen, I could have probably asked you this question. I did ask you in the chat. But at Tuesday's meeting, is it going to be reasonable to expect the management letters to be available? And then my compound question is, how is that adjustment of almost $500,000 or slightly over $500,000, how is that going to reflect or be encumbered by the foundation financially? Can you answer that? And then just to add Paulina's question, has FJC been informed of the reissue or the restated audit and the credit that we're about to receive? So how is that going to be encumbered, and how is that going to be reflected in our financial situation? Thank you.
I'm not prepared to answer about how it would be reflected or how it would affect our bottom line.
Well, maybe I neither could. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Maybe, but I'd really, Jorge will be able to do that on Tuesday. As far as the management letter, I'm not sure it's going to be ready by Tuesday or not. I guess we'll find out from Jorge. He seems to work pretty quickly, so, but I can't guarantee that. Anita?
No comment. I mean, I just know that it is an improvement from 2019, but I've gotten the copy, if you will, the new draft, and I've not had an opportunity to review all the numbers. But again, I'd rather wait till Jorge presents it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Bruce.
It looks better.
To answer you with non-answers, but that's the best we've got right now.
Okay.
This is Lydia, just to say, until that process is completely completed, right, that we find all the little dotted I's and crossed T's that we need to include or whatever, it will not be sent out to be posted or to FJC or whoever else we feel needs to see it.
Okay. I think I see I saw Chris on the stack earlier. Chris, did you want to speak or not?
No, the question keeps on being asked and then not answered and then finally answered. So I've been taken care of. Thank you.
Jeff, we have 2 minutes left on this item.
Okay. So let me go then. I have something I wanted to say on this. When I first saw the original, the first draft of the audit, I was also confused by that, figure about the pensions. And what I did was I called Eileen and, she didn't completely straighten me out, but at least I understood that number about the pensions and the fines we might owe on the pensions. At least I understood then that was a very, you know, that there was a lot of confusion or whatever you want to call it about that number. And we really had to wait until things were straight, you know, were cleared up. However, what happened was that this was toward the end period of the bylaws referendum. And the New Day Pacifica did something that I think was completely unscrupulous. Instead of trying to get to the bottom of what that confused number was, they simply went out and sent out an email saying that we owed $600,000 in fines on our, mostly in fines on our pension plan. And they brought it up in a debate I was in. I think a behavior like that was completely unscrupulous. Admittedly, there was questions in the audit about that, but instead of trying to investigate it and trying to straighten out what that was about, they just went ahead and launched these ridiculous accusations.
Sure, Linden for the sack. Linden for the sack.
Okay, go ahead, Linden.
Yes, I heard that exchange in your debate, and I thought that your in light of what we've just heard tonight, I mean, that it was in there. I find what you did pretty very objectionable. Actually, you almost called her a liar. I think you called her incompetent instead of a liar. So I that's very objectionable.
Well, I'm glad you found my attempt to correct a false statement by somebody who said we owed $600,000 when we didn't. I'm glad you found that objectionable.
The number was real.
Yeah, we had time.
As far as we knew.
Okay, right.
Yeah, we are at time for this item.
Okay. Let's go on to the next item. Next item are committee reports.
What's the time on that, Chair, please?
It's 20 minutes, and the first committee is the Finance Committee, and that has 15 minutes. So go ahead, James.
Okay, thank you. I don't think we need the whole 15 minutes. We do have, if you'll see Appendix C in the agenda, we have the final corrected version of the Houston budget. You'll recall that it needed some correction, and we got the corrections made, and Anita actually did. At the last meeting, I said we didn't have that. I didn't check my email prior to the very beginning of the meeting. Anita had actually sent me that corrected budget, so we could have done it last week. My apology, but we have it now. It's there for anyone who wants to look at it. The basic information is the same as it's been all along. We just needed to make some technical corrections, and that's done, so it's attached for everyone's review. But basically what we have is a motion from the Finance Committee, the National Finance Committee, suggesting, which was approved, by the way, without objection, that the PMB approve the 2020 Texas KPFT budget, 2021 rather. And so I'm moving now that this body approve the KPFT 2021 budget as passed without objection in the National Finance Committee.
James, is that link in the appendix, does that include a link to the actual budget?
That's the budget, yeah. The board has seen that before, just without the technical corrections.
Okay, so it's not in a spreadsheet, it's just sort of written out.
The link.
Yeah, okay. All right, do we have, we don't need a second. It's coming from the Finance Committee. Is there any discussion on this? Okay, are there any objections to approving the budget for KPFT for 2021? Okay, seeing no objections, the budget is approved.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to just add that makes it now we have, of our 8 budgeted units, we have done 6 completed. We still have the National Office and KPFK to go. KPFK is where we're starting now. And then we're going to turn it around and begin immediately on the 2022 budgets, try to get them in a timely manner.
Yes, and I appreciate the work the Finance Committee has been doing. I know these budgets are obviously late for 2021, but I think it's important to go through this process because we're getting the Finance Committee into shape for 2022 when we'll be able to pass budgets in time to actually, you know, use them. anybody?
That's all for the NFC.
Okay. So, we have, some other committee reports. Are there any other committees that have reports to present? Okay. I'll just go through it. Is there anything from the Governance Committee?
Chair, no. No Governance Committee report at this time.
Programming Committee? Anything from Programming Committee?
Chair, no, not at this time.
Okay. Development Task Force? Okay. COVID Task Force, anything from that group? Okay, then we're done with the committee reports, as far as I know.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
parliamentarian. I wanted to make a comment about a gentleman by the name of Mike Swift. I know a few of you have heard that name. Alex, you may have heard that name. And Lawrence Reyes, you may have heard that name. Well, this guy is an expert on parliamentary procedure and bylaws, et cetera. I've submitted that name to the governance committee. And my point here is that the next go-round of bylaws referendums, I hope that you will contact him, because I noticed that people mentioned that some people like some of the bylaws in the referendum and some did not. And so they need to come together. I think, Alex, you mentioned that maybe both sides need to come together to talk about differences, and also talk about things that you like in common. Well, I think Mike Swift can help a great deal with this project. And so he's also the person that recommending for the board training that you mentioned at the last meeting. So, Mr. Chair, if you would consider him and consider presenting his name not only to the governance committee, which Alex, he's already been presented to the governance committee, but presenting it to the entire board, his resume. And of course, I think Lawrence sent you recently his proposal to help with the bylaw. So if you would take all that in consideration and consider the name of Mike Swift, and I thank you.
Yes, I did receive that, but let me tell you, it's been a really busy week. I'd like to discuss this at the next meeting, which we're going to have another meeting next week. And sure. We can discuss that further, both the proposal to discuss process for bylaws amendments. I hope we don't have another referendum anytime soon, but certainly there are some amendments that we may want to consider. And the board training, which I think would be very important. So yes, it's in the back of my mind.
Thank you.
Lawrence to the stack chair.
Lawrence.
Yeah. Right, so two things. I want to double back on just real quick, since we have the time. The governance committee will be meeting the last Wednesday of the month, which is the 28th at 8:30 Eastern time. And then also Mr. Swift did provide a very thorough and professional presentation on the processes of governance. And we had a very robust discussion. It was about 2 hours long, and it was just a very well done presentation, very well prepared person in regards to bylaws and the governance, democratic governance processes. And also, Chair, when you made the motion on reporting on the referendum, I got a couple of texts that said that you mentioned 2020 and not 2021. So I just wanted to make sure that we had that, the years right, if you will.
Let me look at the written version.
Okay. And that's about it. Thank you, Chair.
Let me just make sure that, let's see.
We've all got the 2020 audit burned in our brains.
Yeah. It's 2021 in the written version, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chair O'Rourke
yes, Thomas.
I would like to announce Pacifica Technology Task Force meeting will take place. Okay. Jim Dingaman is chairing it, and we've been meeting recently a few times a month. It will be at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, the 25th of July. I can send a link. Should I? How would I distribute this?
Well, why don't you just post it on kpftx.org, like all the other committees? And
yeah, it probably is. I'll double check. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we're gonna go to new business.
There's no unfinished business that I'm aware of. So the next item is new business, and the only item I'm aware of is a motion from Mr. Reyes. Lawrence, do you want to present your motion?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So I submitted a motion according to the rules that have been established. And so it's essentially communications motions. If Mary Ann, do you have that up? Because I'm multitasking now. I was wondering if you could read it for me, please.
Okay. Now, there are two paragraphs, and they appear to be duplicative. Do you want me to read both?
No, just read the first one. I think the first one is the one I intended to propose.
Motion re-volunteer lists. The Pacifica National Board directs each LSB chair and secretary to provide the names of persons who attended LSB committee meetings between July 1, 2020 and June 30, 2021 to their station's general manager by Sunday, July 18, 2021, 10 p.m. Eastern Time and further. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's the further part. Okay, yes, please continue.
Yeah. That the PNB directs the interim executive director to immediately direct all general managers to submit a list of station volunteers between July 1, 2020 and June 30, 2021, including the participants at LSB committee meetings obtained from the LSB chair and secretary to the national election supervisor by Monday, July 19, 2021, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK, PNB Listener Director, Chairperson, PNB Governance Committee.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just quickly motivate.
Okay.
And it's really simple, as to why this motion is being presented. Because as we know, the ballots, for the other speed elections and for the Articles of Incorporation went out, are due out today. I don't know if they went out today. But July 15th is the day that they're going out. So I think we need to have those codified lists and this accurate lists, in order for people to be able to have the opportunity and be enfranchised to vote and for those people to be educated as to how to vote or how to inform their vote. So that's the quick motivation I have. Thank you.
Okay, is there a second for this motion?
Ralph here, I second it.
Okay, so it's up for discussion. I'd like to comment on this. I understand the motivation here. We want to have a list of possible voters for, in this coming delegates election, but In general, I don't like motions that are, directing other people to do all sorts of work. I think you can accomplish the same thing, by going from the bottom up, by publicizing, maybe creating cards, asking people if they think they are eligible as a volunteer to submit their names to their station manager, who will then check if that person had served on whatever committee or did 3 hours of work in the last year. I think that's a much simpler way of accomplishing the same thing.
Chair, if I could get on the stack when you find that appropriate.
Okay, well, let's let other people.
Ron for the stack.
Okay, I heard Ron. Who else?
Sean.
Okay.
All right, I agree with the basic tenets, but I have a problem with those deadlines. Those deadlines are here now. I mean, and my concern also is about getting, you know, the personnel at these stations organized to pull something like that off. So, you know, I could support something, you know, that would encourage, you know, the production of these lists. But I'm just concerned about that deadline, you know. That's my concern. Thanks.
Okay. Sean?
I echo Ron's concern about the dates, but my primary point is that I looked up in the bylaws, and there is a mechanism for people to become members via attending LSB committee meetings. However, it's only applicable to listeners, not staff. And this is in Article 3 of the bylaws defining membership. So I would amend in the two paragraphs, the part where it says the names of persons to say the name of listeners, and then in the second paragraph where it gets into including the participants, I would say including the listeners. So we're clear that should this pass, we're asking those listeners who fall within this category that they be permitted to, you know, have this counting of them.
Okay. Do we have a second for that? That's a proposed amendment. Is there anybody want to second it?
I'll second it. James, with a question of a point of inquiry.
Okay, well, somebody seconded it. I don't know who that was.
That was Ali.
Ali, okay. James, what is your point of inquiry?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, this is for people who serve on the committee as members of the committee, not for people who just attend the meeting, right?
That's correct.
Thank you.
In other words, for volunteers who do actual work on behalf of Pacifica, and being a member of a committee of a local board is certainly part, certainly encompasses that.
Ron to the stack.
Ron?
I got my hand raised, Chair. And Ron.
Oh, okay. Lawrence and then Ron.
And then Lydia. Lydia, please, to the stack.
And then Lydia.
I'd like to thank Sean for that amendment because that makes complete sense. And in regards to the deadlines, the nomination period closes on the 21st. So we are at a kind of a push on this. So that's another reason why this is a very time sensitive motion. And I do want to codify the fact that, you know, staff and unpaid staff, unpaid labor, if you will, you know, do a lot of work as they're producing or as they're board hopping or whatever it is that I see, staff do. So I would definitely support that amendment, wholeheartedly.
Lawrence, let me just correct you about something. The deadline you're talking about is the deadline to become a candidate.
Right.
You could become a member at any time up until the last day when ballots, are due if you want to vote in this election, as long as you can show that you did that volunteer work in the previous 365 days from, you know, from whatever the data record was. So it's not really a deadline of July 21st.
But if I could just respond to that, we're talking also not only about nominating or nomination period, but we're also talking about people being able to be identified as voters and nominators as well. So I believe, Chair, that it has to be somewhat codified and clarified.
If they want to be nominators, then yes, the July 21st deadline is correct. But just to be able to vote in the election, that's really not the deadline for this particular.
No, the deadline to vote in the election is sometime in August, and then it goes all the way up to November, I believe.
Right. Okay.
But thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean.
Wanted to clarify that. Anybody else wanted to be on the stack on this?
Yeah, Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, and Ali.
and Ali. Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that, this directive relative to the LSV chairs should come from, the PNB to, the PNB, the LSVs are committees of the PNB. It's not staff. I understand the staff, position of the general managers, of which there is only working days tomorrow and Monday, for the general managers technically. But so most of this work has to be done by governance, which is the chairs of the LSB. So that's where that communication should come from. And then if this motion passes, then I just need, you know, the motion once passed to come to me from the secretary, and I'll send forward it on to the general managers. But the work of it, compiling it, will have to be from the LSV chairs. And it's very short notice. I wish this would have been done earlier.
Okay, Ali?
Yeah, what are the minimum number of hours someone has to volunteer to be considered a member?
Three. In the 3 hours per year.
3 hours per year?
Yep.
Okay.
It's in the bylaws.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is James with an inquiry.
James, what is your point of inquiry?
Didn't the date of record pass for people establishing their memberships for purposes of this election? And it's in the bylaws that how this should be done. So are we giving people a second bite at the apple, and is that completely appropriate? And this is just an inquiry. I'm not
I don't think it's a second bite of the apple. I think it's the same apple that hasn't been bitten, if you will.
Lawrence, let me respond to that. You were not recognized. James, this is essentially the same situation as somebody who's requesting a ballot. The station didn't have them recorded as a member, perhaps as a result of a mistake. They show them that they did pay their $25, whatever, so so the station corrects that mistake. So in a sense, in the same way, volunteers who worked 3 hours in the last year but who were not recorded as members, that's basically a mistake on the part of the station that needs to be corrected. And there's no, they can do that any time.
Thank you, Chair. That really clarifies. My question really was, who is the onus on to establish themselves as a member? Does it lie with the management who verifies the volunteer time, or does it lie with the member who needs to put themselves forward and say, I deserve to be a member because of this volunteer work?
I don't know if there's any clear answer about that in our bylaws. If you ask me, I think it should be up to the volunteers themselves, except that the volunteers themselves need to be educated that they have this right, and many of them don't. That's why I was proposing that we have a big campaign to create cards that explain this, and then you can get the push from the volunteers themselves. They'll go to their either the chair of their LSB or their general manager and say, "Look, I did all this work in the last year. Please make sure that I'm recorded as a member."
Yes, so we want to be sure that the volunteers get their just due.
Exactly.
Certainly agree,
Mr. Chair, parliamentarian.
Yes, John.
Yes, Beth is next on the stack. But I just wanted to say that a lot of stations are keeping a logbook of the hours that the volunteers put in, so they have a record that they can prove that they volunteered.
I think some stations do and some don't, or maybe not a very accurate logbook. That's what I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but okay, Beth.
Yes. Volunteer hours have value, dollar value. The IRS values California volunteer hours at just under $30 an hour. It varies from state to state. it's higher in New York and Washington, D.C. than it is in California. That value can be reported to the IRS, and it can be leveraged in the grant-making process. And as such, I think it would serve us well to allow some administrative attention on this effort. I think there are other reasons we need to get our administrative ducks in a row on volunteers. It's important to know who is and isn't in the station at any given time, and more so now than it has been in the past. And so where I understand that at least at our station, we're beginning to set up processes to try to keep better track of that. I understand the Allegiance software is also supposed to be good for this kind of thing, and we should learn enough about how to use it to avail ourselves of that value. So I also, at 3 hours to earn a membership in California value for volunteer hours, that's close to $90. And at some point, I think we need to discuss the equity of that.
We're at time.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to a vote then. Well, let me just ask, are there any objections to this, to the amendment to the main motion? Are there any objections to that?
Can we review that amendment, please?
This is Sandra. I object.
Okay, we have an objection to the amendment. Sean, can you read the amendment, your amendment?
Okay, I will restate. In the first paragraph, where it says the names of persons, change persons to listeners. The names of listeners, because this is only
okay. That's what I wanted to be clear about.
Hold on, let me get the second paragraph. In the second paragraph, there's a line that says, "including the participants." Change participants to say listeners, so it will read, "including the listeners." That's all I'm adding. Listeners in the first paragraph, listeners in the second paragraph.
Okay, is that clear? Okay, and we have had, there's been an objection to the amendment, so we have to go to a vote. Madam Secretary, Madam Recording Secretary, could you please take the roll?
Disenfranchising staff.
Can we repeat the amendment we're voting on, please?
In the bylaws that way, Ron.
In the first paragraph of the motion, where it says the names of persons, I'm changing that to names of listeners.
Exactly. But we have two classes of participants.
Hold on. And then in the second paragraph, where it says the participants, so it's clear, I'm saying change participants to listeners. Because this mechanism are only applicable to listeners.
Yeah, there's a completely separate procedure for staff to become members, and it has nothing to do with 3 hours a year.
Volunteering on LSB committees. It says
30 hours in the last 3 months.
It says specifically this mechanism is not applicable to staff in the
Bible. This only applies to listeners. So
that's correct. So that's why I'm making it very clear. Are we clear now?
Thank you.
Somebody objected, so we have to vote. Let's go.
Okay. This is to the amendment to Lawrence's motion. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Excuse me. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
I'll pass.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Abstain.
Abstain. Excuse me. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Yes. Julie Hewitt. Oh, she's excused. I'm sorry. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina?
Yes.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. Wally James.
Pass.
A pass. Okay. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne? I am not hearing anything. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstain. Thomas O'Rourke.
Yes.
Yes. Jim Osborne. Jim Osborne.
Excused.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm
He's not participating in this meeting.
You're right. I'm sorry. My mistake. Ron Pinchback.
Yes.
Yes. Ralph Pointer.
Abstain.
Abstain. Sandra Rawline.
I vote no.
A no. Lawrence Reyes.
Pass.
You pass. Okay. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Yes. Beth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, we have, let's go back to the passes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, let's see, did we have Julie, oh, I'm sorry, she's, Wally James.
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence?
Lawrence votes yes, and if you could call on Dwayne, he's back.
Oh, good. Thank you. Dwayne Lark.
Dwayne Lark votes yes.
Votes yes. Okay. Andrea Turner. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes. We have, I thought there was more than one no, but I'm only seeing one no.
I think there was only one.
Okay. And I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions. Let's see. There's one no and 4 abstain. So we have 11 yeses, 1 no, 4 abstentions. Alex, do you choose to vote?
I'll vote yes.
You'll vote yes. Okay, that makes 12 yeses. So the motion to amend Lawrence's motion passes.
Okay, now we have to vote on the main motion as amended. Are there any objections to the main motion as amended? Okay, I don't hear any objections. Okay, the main motion as amended passes by acclamation.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. I object.
Well, he called it already.
I already called it, Sandra.
Oh, I was muted, but okay, you guys are going to do whatever you want anyway.
Oh, you're going to make us out to be dictators because you took too long to respond after I asked if there were any objections. Okay,
he's used to doing any KPFT anyway, so.
All right. Anyway, that concludes our open session. We're going to adjourn to closed session. Let's see, it's 10:32. Shall we take a 6-minute break?
Please.
Okay, let's make it 8 minutes, give everybody a chance to refresh themselves and so on. We'll see you at,
Alex, this is Paulina. I believe you need a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, we do. I'm just saying let's reconvene at 10:40 for the closed session. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Chris Corey.
Okay. Webb second.
This is Heather, I second.
Any objections? Okay. So Paulina, please stop the stream and we'll reconvene in closed session in 7-8 minutes.